Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is a media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. And this is episode 195, and we have a little bit of housekeeping this time. First up, if you are enjoying the ad-free show, please consider supporting it. You can go to patreon.com/verypinkknits, and I'll put the link in the show notes. Patrons get all kinds of stuff, and we're always working on making sure the patrons are having a good time. And part of the good time is that there are good conversations that go on in on Patreon. And people are like, it's so different from the rest of the internet because people are super friendly and happy to talk to each other. Patrons get monthly bonus episodes that are only released for them. And patrons get, I can't even think of all the early access to episodes and access to raffles, which I have another one to announce this episode. And the brioche tier patrons get perks, like real things that we send out to them, including the stitch marker case right now. I don't know. It's a fun thing. It's a fun extra kind of community thing. Oh, and priority on their questions.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And you can just like send us a message there and we usually respond pretty quickly. So,
yep. Usually my response is, we'll get your question on the pod. And our yarn sponsor, as always, is our beloved Turtle Pearl, and they make the self-striping sock yarns that Casey and I are in love with, and we have a raffle going on right now. This episode comes out on Wednesday. The following Monday is August 30th. If you are a patron on or before August 30th, you will be put into this raffle for free Turtle Pearl sock yarn, including a little extra hank of yarn for your matching toes and heel. The solid yarn for your toes and heels. That's how I like to knit my socks.
Yeah.
So I'll pick the winner for that on August 30th. So if you, and that's for all levels. That's whether you're sponsoring us with $1 or $1 million, which
we might have to do a special treat for somebody who sponsored us for $1 million.
They sponsored us for $1 million. I will make them cocktails in my backyard. That would be fun. Okay. I think I covered all the things. Do I have anything else that, before I ask you how you're doing?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. I think that was all the housekeeping.
Yeah.
Your kids are just about ready to go back to school. This is a big deal.
Hooray. Yes. I was just saying, like, one of them has not been away. Well, he went away for camp, but like his school days were remote. Part-time, so he was only in school 2 days a week, so it's going to be very exciting for him to go for 5 days a week.
What are you going to do with your time? You're just going to, like, paint your nails and do, like, cucumbers on your eyes?
I have to, like, make podcasts and do work, but it will be nice. I have kind of tried to scale back my work so I can take a breather this first couple of weeks.
Good. You deserve it. I mean, every parent out there for the last year and a half, at least... Well, I think it's worldwide, but I only really know the situation for parents in the U.S. It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. And with kids going back to school, that has all of its own anxieties. But the free time you're looking forward to where you're not keeping
And the food, like they just eat all day and leave food everywhere and leave dishes everywhere. Like last night I looked at my text stream to my teenager and it's just a series of you forgot to clean up your lunch dishes. You forgot to clean up your dinner dishes.
It's that dishwasher drawer that you're fighting with.
Yes. But also just, you know, they're just laying around being loafs. So it's time to get back to it.
It's going to be so, it's going to be so much fun for them to be around kids again, though.
Yeah, I think so.
For sure. Okay. Yep. Well, it's a big deal. Big change. They don't start till after Labor Day, but I'm sure you're looking forward to it already.
Yeah. Well, and we got to start like getting back on a sleep schedule that's normal and not sleeping. Like my 13-year-old's been sleeping till like noon or later.
Oh no.
You know, I used to do that. And so it's gonna be rough to get up and be at school by 7:25.
Well, it's not gonna kill him. It's good for him.
No, it's not.
Get him
it's
up. Not.
Lots of naps.
Lots of naps. Yeah, it's going to be an adjustment to his growing body, of course, if he needs that much sleep. Yeah. So what are you knitting? Oh, wait, I saw an Instagram on your knitting machine.
Yeah, so I spent a little time with my knitting machine, and because I just wanted to see how big it would be, like a square, or, you know, if I wanted to make something other than a hat in a circle. So it really works well with Knit Picks Wool of the Andes Bulky. That's like, I really like the gauge that comes out with it. Okay. And so I'm going to try to figure out something to do with that. But I was trying to make a shawl with this hand spun yarn I got from Ireland that I had started making something, and then I frogged it. And so then I was like, maybe I'll just make like a shawl kind of thing. So I was making that, but then yesterday I was working at it again, and one of them's just so fine, like not fine, but it just kept falling at breaking.
The yarn was
on
breaking
the machine. It's hand spun, so it's kind of fragile.
Right.
So I'm like, kind of was like bummed because I had a whole plan for that. So we'll see what I do.
But can you only knit stockinette when you're knitting, even when you're knitting flat?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just going back and forth.
You're going back and forth, but the work is actually never really turned. So it ends up being.
Right.
Right.
So it's just stockinette squares or tubes. So I did make another hat. So.
Did you post about it? Because I didn't see it.
The hat?
Yeah.
I need to block it. It's kind of funky. I need to shape it and block it, but I was getting tired. So.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm excited. I think a lot of people are waiting to hear how your knitting machine experiment goes because.
Yeah.
Well, your idea for the reason for wanting it is really good because you have this yarn, this stash yarn that you're looking for a way to use more quickly in projects, you know, and that's a good reason.
The next thing I need to test out is if I can do like two at a time, like fingering weight, see if that would work well because
double stranded. You're talking about holding it double stranded. Okay.
Because most of what I have is fingering weight that I have just like odds and ends of random sock yarns and things that I've picked up in different places. So I don't know. We'll see. I feel like I need like 3 days of just camping out in my room with it and like
You've got all this time coming up.
I know. Now that my kids are going to go to school, so I can't do anything else.
Well, what are you knitting? What are you hand knitting?
I'm still working on the sweater that I was telling you about that I don't have enough of the main yarn. So it's slow going because it's color work. And so it takes me a little bit longer. So
yeah,
but I'm enjoying it. So hopeful. I haven't even split the sleeves yet. So it's really slow going.
Well, it's pretty though. I saw the picture that you posted. That's pretty. It's pretty. I like the way it looks.
So what about you?
I'm working on, I have a fun project going. I mean, I like knitting, so I'm not going to say that something's fun and something's not fun. But my recreational project, I've had to put on hold just because I have so much knitting to do for upcoming videos. And the video that I'm working on the most right now is a Fair Isle hat tutorial for Kramer Yarns. And I love knitting Fair Isle hats. You know how much I do. And so I want to show the hat in a few different color combinations. So it's like all my samples are in different colors. I just love Fair Isle hats so much. So that's coming up. And then I also, the next installment of the Pick a Toe, Pick a Heel sock patterns, I'm trying to get that wrapped up. But I think I mentioned on the podcast that like since the virus is bad in Texas, like I can't go back to the studio like I've been talking about and planning. So I'm stuck back here doing all of my own shooting here at home and not going back to the studio where my producer, you know, actually runs the camera and the lights and the sound, and I don't have to. So like everything just, you know, I thought a bunch of the work part of my job, not the work part, the production part of my job was going to be, you know, shared with him, and suddenly it's all on me again. And it's kind of, I mean, I can do it. I know I can do it. Cause I've done it. Right. But I was just looking forward to it. It's like being told you're going to go to Disneyland and then you can't go to Disneyland. Right.
Yeah. It's like being told that you can stop wearing your mask and go out and do normal things again. And then,
and then you can do that for exactly 14 days. And it's like, nope, put your mask back on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. Things are not
like we thought. So.
not, well, things were until the Delta variant, and then that changed everything. So here we are. Yeah. But I am getting a lot of knitting time in. And I mean, this living in Texas in the summer, it's, people say, how do you knit in Texas in the summer? It's like, well, all we do is sit inside in the air conditioning. It's not so bad to knit in the summer. It's not like I have the fireplace going and I'm wearing fuzzy slippers. It's just I'm in the air conditioning and I can make it work.
And it hasn't been that hot, has it?
No, we've had like surprisingly few days hit 100 degrees. It's been a cooler summer. It's very weird. It's weird that it's been so rainy and so so not hot, but hey, I'll take it.
We have had a lot of rain too, and so I feel like we're having like one more week of hot this week, not even hot, but what we think is hot. And then looking at the long range forecast, it's going to be 70s 60s. I was like, I guess that was it.
It was kind of like me with like getting out with my vaccine. It's like, oh, you almost missed it. It's over. Right. You're masked up again. You're home again. If you don't, if you can, you can blink and miss the main summer or the. Wow.
So,
Well, we do have knitting questions to magically turn into knitting answers. If we're going to do that,
all right.
I know when we start talking like this, it's because we're both clicking around trying to close down the Zoom window and find the document.
Find where our questions are. Okay, this first one is kind of good because you are a Fair Isle lover.
Yep.
Coming from just south of the Canadian border in North Dakota, love your podcast. Which is the more unfavorable error when working color work? Too tight attention or too loose? Thanks so much, Marie.
Hi, Marie. It's a good question. And I can tell you that in almost every case, too tight of attention when you're working Fair Isle is going to be the bigger problem than too loose. And Fair Isle, if you're a newer knitter, you haven't knit Fair Isle, it is a way of knitting with two colors per round. Usually it's knit in the round so that you end up with a design using the two colors. And when we're working Fair Isle, we have to make sure to keep the floats, the color that we're not using that's carried in the back of the work. We have to be sure to keep those floats loose so that it doesn't bunch up the front of the work. Because if you're carrying the yarn across the back, across, you know, 3, 4, 5 stitches, and if it's tight, it'll bunch up the work on the front. So too tight is always more of an issue. And a little bit too tight, if you're using wool yarn, it's going to block out okay. The only time that too loose is a problem is if you're doing something like Fair Isle gloves, especially Fair Isle gloves or mittens for kids. Because those loops on the back, if they're really loose, you're going to have a lot of trouble getting hands, especially little kid hands, into those mittens without catching on every single loop as they're going in. But that's the only time. Like a hat with loose floats on the back of the work, the only time that's going to be a problem is if it catches on a barrette in your hair or something, because it'll go straight over your head. Yes.
That's a good question. All right. This is a Patreon question. Hi, Stacey and Casey. What advice do you have for finishing someone else's work? My mom passed last fall and I inherited her stash, which includes several works in progress. I have no idea how long these blankets have been on their needles, but I would like to finish them, especially since one is for my niece who has not yet received a grandma blanket. I know my niece's blanket is a couple of years old, but I honestly don't know how old the other ones are. What things should I consider or do before I start? Thanks for the advice and all the great content you produce. Jennifer in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Jennifer. This is a good question. I'm sorry to hear about your mom. And it's really kind of you to look at these projects, especially the grandma blanket, and look at getting them out to, who they were, the gifts that they were intended to be. That is really nice. I'm looking over your question here. I think the first thing that I would consider is checking your gauge against your mom's, like take a same size needle and some of the yarn that she's using in a project. You want to be able to measure her gauge in something, you know, pick one of the projects. If it has, especially if it's garter stitch or stockinette, something that's going to be easy to count, measure her gauge, use that same yarn, same needle size, measure your own gauge. I would say that checking your gauge once against your mom's is going to be pretty accurate for an across-the-board look at all the projects that you have to finish. So if your gauge is right on with your mom's, great. You can just pick up with whatever needles she was using or whatever and finish the project. If you find that your gauge is a little bit tighter, and if you go up one needle size, that's, I'm going to say that it's pretty safe to guess that you can go up one needle size in every one of the projects that you're looking at finishing. If you want to re-swatch for each one for accuracy, you can certainly do that. But that's the rule of thumb that I would go with in looking at these. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, I mean, there's no, if she's stored these things and, you know, carpet beetles haven't gotten in or anything else, then there's no problem. You, I mean, all of us know that you can stuff a project in your knitting bag and pull it back out and you can pick right back up from where you were. And then I think as long as you have the pattern, if you don't have the pattern, Jennifer's a patron. If you don't know the pattern to something that she's working on, just post it to the Patreon and I'm sure someone will chime in saying, that looks like a so-and-so design or this blanket or whatever. And I bet that with the patrons in the Patreon group, I bet she can get some answers if she's not sure what a pattern is that her mom was working on. Because some of these things might kind of be a mystery. If they're on the needles and you have the pattern there and you know your gauge, you're all set.
Yeah.
But it's nice of Jennifer to look at all these because, well, I mean, especially the grandma blanket, that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. That's nice to finish that. Casey, have you ever finished someone else's knitting?
You gave me a scarf that I...
Oh, from me. That's right.
Yeah. And I decided I just hate knitting scarves. I don't know why. so I looked at it and it was just long enough that I could turn it into a cowl. So I just...
I saw that.
The edging, the bottom, like the edge around the bottom was garter stitch. So I just added some garter stitch and some buttonholes and put some buttons on it. It's really cute.
It is really cute. It is really cute. I've finished.
And then that was the hat I made yesterday with my knitting machine, was with some of that yarn that.
Oh, that same pink yarn?
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice yarn.
I think it'll be cute with like a feather with a fur pom pom.
I want to see you with a feather.
With a feather.
In your warm hat. I finished someone else's work one time, and it was a friend of a friend here in Austin. His mom passed away, and he found a sweater that she was working on for him, and she was quite elderly, and he didn't really pull the sweater out of the bag and have a look at it, but she was having issues with mobility and with her eyes, and of course, I'm not going to say, I'll be honest with, the sweater was kind of a mess. Like, there were a lot of holes, and she changed from stockinette to accidentally to garter a couple of times in weird places. Oh, I mean, if she couldn't see well, it's clear that this was, you know, she was doing her best and she wanted to make this sweater for her son. And it was a piece sweater, you know, front, sleeve, sew it all together, or front, back, sleeve, sew it all together. And he gave it to me. And you know, this is maybe, you know, 8 years ago or something. And he said, I'm not sure how it looks, but if you can finish this. And I really worked on this because this is like a sweet thing, like the last sweater his mom makes for him. And I duplicate stitched all the holes together and undid some knitting and redid some of it to make it so it would fit to, you know. And anyway, I gave him a sweater that was a sweater. It was a sweater. And I didn't change all of her mistakes. You know, I kept some things in that she had done, but I made sure the sleeves were the same length, you know, things like that. It was a lot of work, and it's kind of like what Jennifer's doing. It has to be a labor of love. This is not something that you would ever, you know, you're not going to like Austin Creative Reuse and looking for half knit projects. You know, it has to be, it has to be kind of something you're doing from your heart. But I did it, and this big 6'4" Viking looking dude, I met him at a coffee shop to give it to him, and he was weeping. And I was like, oh, well, I did a nice thing. Wow, can you stop crying, please?
Was it like mostly done and you just needed to kind of put it together, or did you have to knit a lot of it?
I think like a sleeve and a half was done, and the front and half the back were done. And so it was, it didn't end up being, well, it ended up being enough knitting because this is a really huge guy and the sweater was for him. But it didn't end up taking me that long. I spent more time, looking over what I could do without changing the integrity of her knitting too much, you know? And so it was, I mean, as much as knitting is math, this was kind of more art. There was art in balancing what the, what my contribution to the sweater was going to be. But, you know, he's not a knitter. It wouldn't, he would never have criticized me on any of the decisions I made. I just wanted it to be the best that I could give him for such a special sweater. Anyway, that was that. I think that might be the only time I've picked up someone else's knitting to finish it.
Yeah.
But I had a story there, so I thought I'd tell it.
Okay, next question. Do either of you have tips for successfully knitting socks with cotton? I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Sally in Austin, Texas, plus one for breakfast tacos.
That's plus one old, for breakfast tacos.
old reference.
I still eat breakfast tacos out all the time. I don't think that's an old reference.
I think we had a very early episode where somebody said their breakfast tacos were better.
Well, it's been an ongoing conversation on the podcast arguing who has the best breakfast tacos, and San Antonio thinks that they're winning, but I think San Antonio needs to shush because Austin has the best breakfast tacos.
Sounds really good because I can tell you Maine does not.
Well, you can make them at home, but you don't have HEB tortillas, which has to ruin everything if you don't have HEB tortillas. Mm-hmm. Well, I just had breakfast tacos a couple of days ago, but I'm out of eggs now, so.
I think I might have to make some this weekend.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Well, we should release like our own recipes for good breakfast tacos because people are probably wondering, like, you know what they might be picturing if they live in places in the U.S. that doesn't have great breakfast tacos. They might be picturing like a Taco Bell crunchy taco shell with eggs in it.
Or burritos, like breakfast burritos, which have like rice and all this extra stuff you don't need.
Stuff you don't need. Well, let's look at Sally's question here. Do you have any tips for successfully knitting socks with cotton, Casey?
No, I don't.
You know, I was waiting for you to say something because I don't either. I think it's kind of a disaster.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Because there is so much shaping in a sock, so many direction changes to make a garment that fits a foot. So many things going on. If you're using a yarn that doesn't have any give, you're not getting the benefit of that little bit of to make the turn the corner, to make it fit around the shape of the toes. You know, you're just knitting with something that has no give. And I know we're going to hear from people who are like, I use cotton yarn all the time. It's great. Good. Go ahead.
I was going to say those people are not using like, we're not talking about like kitchen cotton, like what you would make a washcloth out of. There's no way you can make socks out of that.
I wouldn't think so, especially there's so many plies in that cotton. But I know there is cotton sock yarn out there, and there are cotton wool blend sock yarns out there. That might be okay. I don't even have experience with that, though. But I would say, Sally, I live in Austin, and I wear wool socks from like October to April, and wool socks are not the heat generating, you know, your feet breathe in them, and they don't keep your feet like any warmer. They're just comfortable and they're like healthy for your feet. So you don't have to live in a totally frigid place to appreciate wool socks. Now I will say, like, I probably have less use for really thick, you know, kind of hiking socks or something. You know, I just wear my regular sock weight yarn socks all the time, and I actually sleep in my bulky sleep socks because my feet get cold at night. But I'm not, I guess maybe we need to hear back from Sally, like, why do you want to knit one with cotton? Because you live in Texas? Because that's you can wear wool socks in Texas.
Yeah. If you're wearing socks at all,
I haven't worn socks. Well, no, I guess when I get on the Peloton, I wear little shorty cotton socks with my Peloton shoes. But no, I haven't left the house in a pair of socks, you know, since March.
Right. I haven't either lately. Like, I haven't worn socks in weeks.
Well, you're only a few weeks away.
I know. Don't remind me. Okay, Patreon question. Good morning, my knitting friends. I recently ordered my first turtle pearl yarn and so enjoyed knitting with it. I have two questions. First, as hard as I tried to use up the entire mini skein per sock, I had some left over. I didn't turn them into knee highs because I didn't feel like figuring out increases for my calves. So what do you both do with the little bitty leftover yarn? Second question has to do with your sock series. Will there be more? And will there be a way to have all the options available in one file instead of two at a time? Hope that makes sense. I'm a recent patron member and have so enjoyed and learned from all your videos and podcasts. Annie from San Diego.
Hi, Annie. Her first question is about what to do with the little bits of leftover sock yarn. And we've talked about this before. I usually keep a little bit of leftover sock yarn to use as scrap yarn. I usually keep it in my little knitting kit. I also don't have a problem throwing little bits of yarn away. Not a problem for me. I'd rather not store things that I know I'm not going to need. But there are little sock yarn projects, and I just posted that little doll that you can knit. I can't think of the name of it. It's a German name, and it starts out K-N, Nubelkin or something like that. It's this little doll with a hat. It's so cute. I will post it in the show notes. And it's really fun to knit. And there's no reason that you have to use one color of sock yarn when you're making that. The little doll can have stripy clothes, jumpsuit on, using up little bits of extra yarn from different skeins. I know you've answered this in the past, but Casey, do you have a brilliant contribution to little extra bits?
I just keep them, and then I have like a bag going, and sometimes we'll use it for like little thing, like one for like what you're saying, like waste yarn. But I have bought some of the little different things. This designer, whose name escapes me right now, has designed like a little mini lighthouse. And so I'm planning on using some leftovers for that. Like, she makes little villages.
We'll have to share that because I can't even picture that. Okay.
Yeah. And I think her name's Hunter Hammerson or something. Hammerson. She knits all these crazy little tiny things. And so sometimes I'll just keep them for that kind of stuff. So we have a tiny, it's called a little free, what is it called? It's a tiny gallery in our town. Like, you know, like the little free library.
Okay.
Where you take books and leave books. It's a tiny gallery. So people leave little tiny bits of art and leave, take it.
That is so, so cute.
I know. I'll have to take a post picture. So I keep telling myself I need to knit a little lighthouse for that. And I just haven't done it, but that's my plan.
Oh, that's a cute idea. Okay. Yeah, well, so. Annie has a second question and has to do with the Pick a Toe, Pick a Heel sock series. And she's wondering if there will be, I guess it will be available in a bundle at some point. And we're talking about it. We're looking at that, about putting it all out in a bundle. And I don't know yet. I'm sure it'll probably happen. She's asking me a hard question that I don't know the answer to. But the next in the series is coming out soon, because I'm working on getting that next video out and getting the pattern finished. So the next in the series is coming out soon. And there, right now, I have four toes, four heels kind of ready to go. You know, the patterns are mostly written and they're kind of ready to go. I just need to shoot the videos and finalize the patterns. And then once I have four out, am I going to bundle it then? Am I going to bundle it? I'm going to wait till I have 10? You know, I don't know. So
yeah,
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry, Annie, but
to be continued.
You know what? We've got a long podcast this time. We got chatty.
Yeah. I was just thinking that.
Yes. So we can end this one, you know,
okay, and
do it again next week. Casey, if people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C. And my Instagram is kc.knits. You'll find me there more active.
Yes. And if you want to find me, there is, of course, the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. And then I'll put all our links in the show notes as well. But that is it for this week, this long episode. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.